Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
And good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to show number 39 from Engage for Success. I'm Jo Moffitt. I'm your host for this afternoon. And this week, we're really pleased to have two guests, two for the price of one. We've got Sam Dawson and Caroline Robel from Hay Group, and we'll be introducing them in a moment. But just briefly, for those who've not tuned into the show before or who don't know who I am, as I say, I'm Jo Moffitt. I'm MD and founder of the creative communications consultancy Woodread, and I've been a member of the Engage for Success Guru Group for about 6 or 7 months now. At Woodread, we work with blue chip clients as well as many not-for-profit organisations. Essentially, what we do is work with our clients to help them use their brands to drive their employee engagement and so create healthy and productive internal cultures. So at Woodread, the brand inside is just as important as the brand outside. So as I say, we're very pleased to have two guests with us today. Sam Dawson, who has actually been on the show before. He was on the show back in April, one of the very first guests, actually. Heads up the engagement practice of Hay Group in the UK. He's an associate director there, and I think has been involved in the field of employee engagement research and consulting for over 15 years now. So welcome to you, Sam.
Thank you, Jo. Great to be on again.
Okay. Good to have you back. Thank you. It can't have been too painful last time, so it's nice to have you with us again. And I think you've brought Caroline Robel with you this afternoon, who is also at Hay Group. She's a senior consultant there, is a qualified chartered occupational psychologist, and has, again, many years' experience in employee engagement, working not only to support UK clients for Hay Group, but also on a global stage as well. So really all about helping make sure that your client's employee voice is heard through their surveys. So welcome to you, Caroline.
Thanks, Jo.
Okay, so we've got an interesting session this afternoon. We're going to take the next half an hour to talk to Sam and Caroline about their recent findings from the surveys that they undertake with clients across the globe, and understand from that what sort of insights we can draw on those results, and perhaps how things have changed compared to recent years, what some of the trends are, and hopefully what lessons organisations can be learning, what they can be doing as a result of those findings. So perhaps, Sam, I can come to you first and ask you just to give us a little bit of an introduction to this year's report in terms of who's been involved, what the kind of numbers are, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course. No, happy to do that. As your listeners probably know, Jo, Hay Group's a global management consultancy, and we have a specialism in employee engagement research and consulting on the back of that. What that means in practice is we run probably 700 or so surveys per year around the world, so all different regions, all different countries. That probably makes up around a database of 7 million respondents. So we've really got data points for 7 million people around the world in terms of how they're feeling generally in their workplaces, but more important, some of the levels of engagement, enablement, and a range of topics underneath that. So once a year,
right,
about this time in the calendar year, that enables us to have a look at the trends, see how people are feeling, and really have a picture of global engagement. And I think, you know, the engagement levels are one thing, but I think it's vital to put it into some sort of business perspective as well. And, you know, I was reading about the IMF really cutting the global growth outlook last week generally, but actually putting the outlook for the UK up to 1.4%, mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of our clients are starting to ask, well, where's that growth really come from? What can we do on the people agenda to really help drive some of that growth? And I think the answer is really to look at engagement, enablement in a lot of detail, and also think about retention of talent and key people in those organisations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the 7 million respondents that you're talking about, are they is that generally an online methodology these days, or is it a bit of a mixture? What do you, or does it vary from area of the world?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, more and more it's an online methodology. I think there's some automated telephone respondents in there, and there's some paper-based respondents as well. But the majority, I think, of organisations are moving to online. And, of course, you know, it covers a wide range of people as well. So everything from kind of top senior executive leadership right down to, you know, people in boiler suits building things in far-flung parts of the world.
Absolutely. And do you find that in most organisations you get good response levels in terms of the sort of take up of those surveys? Has that changed?
I think generally yes. I think there's always a range, and it's always sometimes the first indicator about how engaged employees are in this kind of initiative in terms of, you know, measuring their own engagement and enablement levels. But generally we see the average response rate being between 80% and 85%, and that's generally because, you know, Hay Group have been working with organisations for a number of years and kind of built up a following around the employee survey, and the communications tend to be working well. But, you know, we do see other organisations achieving about 60%. But I think for an organisation that's been running that for a number of years and communicating out the results well, generally in the range of 80 to 85%. So, you know, a really good, strong, representative view of people in those organisations as well.
Right. Okay. Great. Thank you. And is that more people than is that an increase on previous years, or 7 million, or is it kind of roughly?
Yeah. I mean, the database is always growing. So it's grown kind of significantly, 10% or so in the last year, and you know, hopefully we'll keep growing in the years to come. But what it does enable us to do is give a strong global picture, and also a breakdown of different regions and countries as well, to actually look at countries side by side and look at how they're doing, whether they're increasing or decreasing versus the average.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you for that, Sam. I think that's a helpful introduction to it. Now, I picked up on a couple of points that you were making in your introduction there. You talked about engagement. You also talked about enablement. And whilst I think there's probably nobody listening to this show who doesn't actually have an understanding of what engagement is, albeit there are probably more definitions of employee engagement than we could check a stick at. I think perhaps people are might also be interested in understanding the terminology as far as you see it in terms of engagement and enablement, and quite what we mean by that. So is that something that you could perhaps cast a little bit of light on, Caroline, for us?
Yeah, of course, Jo. I mean, just to echo your point, there are many definitions out there of engagement, and I think for the listeners, it's important really to give an understanding of what we mean when Hay Group are talking about engagement.
Do you have your own specific definition? Do you?
We have a measurement. So at Hay Group, we have the model of employee effectiveness, and it's made up of two key elements. So the first is engagement, and when we're talking about engagement, what we're looking at is really commitment, so an individual's attachment to an organisation, also their intent to stay with that organisation, so to that degree of commitment, but also the level of discretionary effort, so whether someone's willing to go above and beyond in their job. So those are the sort of the key things that we look at when we're measuring engagement, and I think if you look at other survey practitioners, I don't think that's dissimilar in terms of definition. Of course, what we do find is that when companies focus on engagement, there is a positive impact on business outcomes. But our research actually has found that there's a second piece of the measurement of which forms our model, so enablement. So, I mean, to the listeners, I mean, imagine if you're a highly engaged employee, but you haven't got the support, you haven't got the business processes around you to get your job done. I mean, how much does that feel? Because you're highly engaged, but you know, you're not necessarily able to deliver on your job. What we find is that those employees actually end up either burning out, becoming frustrated, or leaving the business. So what we find is that it's really important to be measuring enablement as a part of engagement, to really make sure that employees are as effective as they can be on their job. And Joe, it's, I suppose, the enablement piece is really about channeling employees' motivation levels so that they can be as productive as they can be.
Or not allowing that engagement to be wasted, I guess, as well, really.
Exactly, so, yes. Mm. And to give you an example, I mean, when we're talking about enablement, what we're looking at in our measurements is something called optimized roles. So we really want to make sure that an employee in their role is effectively matched to what they're doing, so their skills and abilities are being put to good use, but also that they have that supportive environment. And just to give you an example, I always think it's useful to put everything into context with an example. One of our clients, a UK financial services company, that compared to those in the organisation with the lowest levels of engagement and enablement, the ones who are highly engaged, highly enablement, outperformed the lowest branches on sales targets by 11%. They had 50% lower voluntary turnover and 10% higher customer experience rating. So for us, you've got the proof points there about the importance of engagement and all of the great things that, Engage the success they are doing, but you've also got this piece around enablement to channel that level of motivation.
Tell me something, Caroline. Is there, as you're talking, it sort of strikes me, is there any link between the two? Is there a sort of, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg here? In that, if somebody, I mean, I can imagine if somebody is engaged but they're not enabled, then that's got the potential to fizzle out, hasn't it? But could you see it go the other way, that if an employee is enabled or, you know, is given that support and the business process to be effective, can enablement contribute to engagement? Or are they kind of, you need both of these things and they're kind of standalone?
No, you do need both of them together, but I think from our research and the findings, and we've done a lot of linkage analysis, what we find is it's the degree to which an employee is both engaged and enabled. So, for example, a highly engaged but not very enabled employee would be frustrated, but I suppose the opposite, we call a detached employee, where someone's perhaps not very engaged but they're very enabled. And so we break people up into sort of categories, into what we call our effectiveness quadrant, so that we can better understand the types of people who are sort of in those different levels and to different degrees, and therefore what we can do with those individuals to promote them, push them forward, and help them be more effective, and obviously in turn have the great impact on various business outcomes.
So really, one without engagement, without enablement, can only go so far. And enablement without engagement lacks that sort of discretionary effort piece, I guess, doesn't it, really, in terms of what they can actually do with that enablement. If they're not engaged, they're not going to do so much with that enablement as if they were. Interesting. Okay, and from your perspective, is they're both really key. Is one more important than the other, would you say?
I mean, from our findings, that we see that if you have high engagement alone, that still has positive outcomes on various business results. But when you put the enablement piece within that, you get significantly greater levels of, say, employee performance. So it's like the enablement piece has a sort of two- or threefold effect on a business outcome.
Okay, so it's a bit like a catalyst, really. Interesting. Okay. And right. Thank you for that. That's helpful. It's just useful, isn't it, to get some of the terminologies clear and see how they fit. So from a global engagement perspective, then, what are the sort of top line global aspects of the report in terms of what you're seeing so far?
So it's Sam here. I can answer that one. I think.
Okay, thank you.
Interesting. When we look at the data, we actually split the organisations into kind of two. We look at a general average, so what's happening, across the world. But we also look at a high performing average, and these are companies that are doing well on engagement, in terms of increasing engagement and enablement, but also doing really well in terms of business outcomes, so in terms of profit and growth and shareholder return. So we can look at the kind of the cream of the crop, the best of the best, and the average across the globe too. Traditionally, in the last few years, the best keep getting better, so kind of moving away from the pack, if you like, and the average has showed some improvement, but sort of bumping along, a bit stubbornly flat, as we call it. But in the last 12 months, actually, we've seen a little bit of a different picture, interestingly. The bottom line, really, the key story is the gap between the high-performing organizations and the average is actually lessening. So, you know, the average is actually picking up, and I think learning lessons from maybe some of the best organizations out there through movements like Engagement Success and looking at kind of best practice in terms of engagement. And the high-performing organizations are actually dropping off a little. I think they've reached their peak for a little bit, and they're falling slightly on both engagement and enablement. And I think, you know, we've been looking very carefully at that and asking ourselves some questions. Well, you know, wonder what that is really globally. And I think, you know, a couple of things. I think the first is a positive surge in scores can't go on forever, you know, for an organization or for a global average. I think at some point you plateau as business initiatives and global pressures kind of change. And I know we've got this big US debt crisis looming in terms of the debt ceiling, but I think generally the feeling is that the global economy is picking up. And that's really translated to people in the best companies feeling they can take a chance on perhaps moving jobs, changing jobs to other organizations. And as Caroline was saying, you know, intention to stay is a really key part of engagement. I think a lot of organizations and people listening will recognize that in terms of how long people want to stay with an organization. I think as the economic picture looks a little less gloomy, a little more rosy, people's intention to stay actually drops. They think, you know, it's time to be looking around for another job.
Yeah,
hence,
you can understand,
you know, their engagement scores drop.
You can imagine in the last few years there's been a little bit of sort of hunkering down and keeping the head below the parapet and just kind of getting on with it. And the devil you know is better than the devil you don't in some respects. And perhaps
exactly. And I think so for a lot of those high performing organisations, really the focus over the next year or so really needs to be on talent retention. So, you know, identifying who are the best performers and the future performers, and really, you know, making sure that they are both engaged and enabled, and organisations are hanging on to the best people. I think it's a bit of a wake up call actually for the best organisations out there, seeing their scores drop. Interestingly, you know, we've also seen enablement drop for some of those best organisations. I think they've been very good over the last two or three years around getting enablement structures in place, so making sure people are in the right roles and they're supported to do the right thing and being pushed in the right direction. But I think, you know, requirements change, business strategy and direction changes as well. So what might have worked 12, 24 months ago may not be still working now. And I think it's a chance for organizations to relook at some of their enablement policies in terms of how they're supporting people and the best talent and being able to refocus a little bit.
So do you think that's also a function of perhaps that people would say, employees would say, well, I can take on more. I can do. I understand that times are hard. I understand that costs have got to be cut. I understand that headcount's got to be tight. And so, actually, yes, given the circumstances in which we're operating, I do feel that I'm adequately supported and resourced because it's kind of the best it can be at the moment given the circumstances. But that perhaps that can only go on for so long before the strain starts to show and people start to say, well, actually, no, I don't really feel I'm being enabled now. The recession's been going for 4 years, 5 years, or whatever. It's time that the new normal is starting to cool a bit, you know, and we need a little bit more support.
I think that's a really interesting observation, because I think there's only so long that people can stay in this kind of frustrated category that Caroline was talking about, where people are, you know, highly engaged but not enabled. We also know with our work through high-performing organisations that actually there tends to be a slightly higher portion of frustrated people in those high-performing organisations because they have higher expectations, you know, back to your point about the norm. So actually the average is, you know, the bar is set slightly higher in some of those best organisations. So an employee will, you know, join a great company, expect everything to work, be able to turn their PC on in the morning, you know, have a manager as they walk in the door and have the right support. So they've actually got even greater expectations. So I think, you know, the fall in some respects is even greater when you look at it through that lens.
Yes. No, it's interesting, isn't it? And do you see you're talking there about sort of global trends, but are you seeing any? Are there any particular countries or particular areas of the world that are bucking that trend, or is this something you're seeing reasonably consistently across the world?
Yeah, no, I mean, there are definitely some differences in the results. Latin and South America, for instance, traditionally very strong in terms of these types of results around engagement and enablement. We know there's been massive infrastructure spend in that region over the Olympics and the World Cup coming up in Rio. I think that's had a real knock-on effect to organizations. I think we're seeing a lot of business growth, but I think those organizations now are struggling to keep up in terms of some of their people practices. So, massive business opportunities, but actually the question is, because we've seen the results drop there, are they managing to continue to engage and enable their people as the business grows? So Latin and South America taking a bit of a knock. North America are leading the pack, as they have for a while. Some really strong results around pride and recommending their organizations to friends and family. Middle East and Africa, showing rising engagement. Again, we're seeing a lot of business growth in Africa and across the Middle East. So they're managing to hang on to their employees at the moment in terms of engaging and enabling them. Moving over to the Asia Pacific, it's a bit of a mixed bag, very large region, of course. But I think India's probably suffering some of the same issues that Latin and South America are as well, in terms of, large business growth, but struggling to keep enabling and keep talent in those organizations too. China, interestingly, increasingly their competitive labor market. So we know that 57% of employees in China plan to leave their jobs in the next 5 years. So that's one of the highest scores we've seen. Gosh. So I think there will be a talent crisis looming on the horizon for China in the
which
next 5 years.
Which is potentially good news for UK employers, of course, isn't it?
Certainly UK
manufacturers. If China's going to have a bit of a talent crisis, it potentially creates opportunities.
Well, it's certainly going to have a wobble in terms of talent. So, maybe there's an opportunity there for UK organisations to take advantage of that fact. And Europe has traditionally been sort of swimming a little bit below the average, but we've seen some rise in the European levels to about average now, about global averages.
Okay. Thank you. That's useful. And that leads very nicely into my question I was going to ask you, Caroline, because I think really your particular focus is on the UK, isn't it? So what are you seeing happening within the UK?
Yeah, I mean, in the UK, we've seen engagement and both enablement slightly rise since last year. So the engagement levels in the UK are the global average. The UK average is 65. Same for enablement as well. What we're seeing is that people are saying that they are connected, they're much more connected to their organisation. So 77% feel proud, 72% feel motivated to go above and beyond. The greatest question improvement that we've seen since last year in the engagement index is around this ability for people to say they're willing to recommend the company as a place to work, which, those three things alone are really positive. But I think on the flip side, what we also see is, although enablement has improved, the worry is around the barriers that people are saying they're facing. We've got 4 in 10 employees are actually saying that the conditions that they're working in their job don't allow them to be as productive as they could be. 45% they face barriers.
Yeah. So it's a bit like we were talking earlier, that they sort of said, well, enough is enough, I do need a new PC, or we do need to upgrade to Microsoft 2013 or whatever, we can only go on struggling for so long.
Yeah. I mean, the companies that we work with, we try to do a bit of a deep dive and understand, so what are those barriers that they're facing so that we can really, I suppose, take those lessons learned and share that with other organisations. And the key things that we've got three big culprits that are coming up time again around systems and technology, structures and accountability within an organisation, so that's making decisions, working across the business, and then this resourcing challenge. So as you and Sam touched upon, with jobs being cut in past years, the impact that's having on people now. And I think what's really interesting for us is that people are saying that they're connected, but the frustrations of those barriers are kicking in because we've got 49% saying that they plan to leave within the next 5 years in UK organisations. So you've got, and as you and Sam said, that now the economy's picking up, people are starting to, I suppose, become a bit more brave and think, I will look around. And so, I mean, the message that we wanted to share is that for us it's about how organisations can support people to better deliver in their jobs, so the enablement piece, but also how can organisations actually secure people longer term, so that long-term commitment.
So what are the answers then, Caroline and Sam? What should organisations be doing to try and address these potential issues that are kind of looming down the track?
Well, with Sam being our insight guru, I think has some of the answers for us, so I'll pass over to him.
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly got a perspective on that, and I think they tie into some of the Engage for Successes for enablers as well, because I think you know, one of those key things is really having that strategic narrative from the top.
Right.
We know that's a really key differentiator of those high performing companies I was talking about. The direction's clear and everyone's on the boat and they're all sailing in the right direction. So I think that's one of the key things, and that's not just a leadership prerogative, really. I think that's something that every manager and leader of people can help with, you know, all the way down the organisation. One of the other things we're seeing is our development opportunities. So even in tough times, those high-performing companies are giving people opportunity, not just kind of training for the job in hand, but actually ensuring there's a clear career path through the organisation. The work structure and process, as Caroline was touching on, the enablement stuff, really key. You know, that really one of the key defining factors, what makes a high-performing organisation. And then confidence and leadership as well, you know, related to that strategic narrative, but that people know who their leaders are, know what they want, and, you know, more importantly, that they've got line of sight between what they do in their job every day, whatever that is, and really where the organisation's going, really feeling part of that journey.
So in other words, that, again, which ties directly into to the strategic narrative element of the four enablers, doesn't it? That, you know, I can see what I do on a day-to-day basis is actually contributing to us achieving what it is that our business has said it wants to set out to achieve. Yeah, interesting.
Exactly, and you know, the other enablers as well of, you know, for Engage for Success, we're seeing as really important. So the piece around engaging managers, making sure that engagement is embedded at the local level as well, that managers really understand how important it is, and you know, the piece about integrity is really playing out now. You know, not just in financial services organisations, but across the world and across sectors. Really, I think it's becoming increasingly important as a driver of engagement. You know, so our organisations able to minimise risk and actually are managers and leaders really walking the talk in terms of what they're meant to be doing?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, interesting. And of course, in terms of employee voice, which is one of the four, and essentially that's that's your entire raison d'être, of course, isn't it?
Well, it is really.
Employees feel that that's what they've got.
Yeah, I mean, there's two parts of the employee voice piece for me. I think there's being able to feed up, you know, views and communication from every employee, but the second and maybe more important thing is really that those organisations are acting on the voice, so they're hearing the voice, but they're actually acting on that in a systematic way that they know is going to drive business performance. And how they're doing that, when they're looking at, you know, the key drivers of engagement and enablement to really impact the bottom line.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So it's actually knowing that your voice is being heard and acted upon, isn't it, really?
Exactly.
So we've got a little bit of, not very long left to go. In the last sort of minute of the show, what there's been a very, very interesting overview of what where you've got to in the sort of trends and so on, and so thank you both very much for that. I think it's sort of prompted, it certainly prompted me to want to know more about some of the points that you've raised. So where can people get more information or find out more about the things we've been talking about this afternoon, Sam?
Well, I think there's a number of ways. I think certainly on the Hay Group website, and I'm sure we can, you know, try and post a link up to the Engage for Success website as well. We also have an engagement forum next week, actually, coincidentally, in London. We certainly have some information about that on our on our website too. Everyone's invited. I think we've got about 90 people coming along. It'd be great to see some more people in the room. We've got Coca-Cola and others speaking there. So that's a free event and great for kind of networking opportunities, really.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you both very much. That's lovely. We'll do our best to put some of those links on the site for you as well. I'll have to just close things now and say thank you very much to this week's guests, Sam and Caroline from Hay Group, and just give a quick plug for next week's show, which is a pretty special one. We've got David McLeod hosting the show next week, and he will be interviewing HR guru Dave Ulrich. He'll be talking about his book, The Why of Work, and discussing the meaning of work in the current workplace, which of course ties in very much with what we've been talking about this afternoon. So a great event next week. So thank you all very much, and we'll look forward to hearing from you next time. Thank you.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.